actually saw a TikTok the other day where this couple was like, when we get into heated arguments, like, we have to wear party hats. And so it's hard.
That's actually a great idea.
So they put on like their argument party hats and try to have a conversation with each other. But it's like so hard to stay angry when you're both wearing party hats.
And welcome back to Give It To Me Straight.
I'm Alex.
And I am John. And we're your gracious hosts. I don't know why I'm looking in your mic when I say it, because it's not like it.
That's not my mic. That's
or sorry, your camera, because it doesn't see me anyways.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that it doesn't see you at all.
Okay.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm so great. How are you doing?
Are you having a party by yourself?
I am. I'm having a beer party and I'm having a seltzer party.
Okay. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Whatever's going to get me through this podcast, you know what I'm saying?
Anyways, I feel like last episode, we didn't talk at all about our updates, like what we were going through in life.
I don't remember.
Like, I know. It's like as weeks go by, you just kind of forget what you do.
I mean, most of the time, we're literally just in our house. We're in our house sitting, doing videos or editing, but like going out and doing stuff.
Nothing was major. Like the holidays, your parents came to visit. We did experience our first earthquake. Well, like California earthquake. I did.
Oh, your first. Okay. Yeah. Because we've been gone for every time there was an earthquake.
Well, nothing was big. Like, where? What do you mean?
Yeah,
where
like
were we?
When remember our dog sitter with Kobe?
There was
an earthquake. There was an earthquake. There's twice. There's two earthquakes.
Oh, I don't remember.
And we were gone. I think we were in New York, and then we were in some other place.
Well, I was taking a nap, and I woke up on the couch, and like it was post rain. So I was like, every time after it rains a lot here, we're just grateful that our house is in one piece. Like it stays up on the hill. And so I'm taking a nap on the couch and I feel the house shaking and I'm like, this is it. This is the moment that our house is going to go down. And then it didn't. It stopped and it stayed. And I was like, maybe it was just a really big truck that drove by. And you were in the shower and I walked into the shower and I was like, did you feel that? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, I think it was a really big truck.
We're in a flight path, so I just thought it was a plane.
And then my mom
like,
called
oh, they
me
the house.
Like an hour later and she goes, did you feel that earthquake?
It was like a 5.2 or something.
Yeah, but my mom in New York called to see if I felt it. I was like, oh, I did. Woke me up from a nap.
I didn't think it was that bad. I was like, oh, it's a little, you know, little rumble. No big deal.
Yeah, a little rumble. I know. I've never experienced an earthquake before that.
We are not prepared, though.
No. If, like, there was a natural disaster here, knock on wood, we'd be fucked.
I mean, technically, there was the flooding.
Right, but, like, I mean, power outages, like food, water. Like, what is our source of clean water? We have like two water bottles. Like,
you know, the last owners of this house have all those blue buckets in the back of the house. And I threw them out. I was like, why are these? Like, why do we have these? I don't want to stay here if we're like having a natural disaster.
But like, what if we're trapped? We're not prepared.
No.
Honestly,
we have one flashlight.
Something, I think about that too, like in a zombie apocalypse, I'm not one of those people who'd be like, I'm going to fight till the end. I'm like, let me just join.
If there is a bomb, I hope I get hit directly because I don't want to live through like anything.
I feel like maybe we should like change the topic. This is kind of depressing. Any other updates, John? How was your week? What'd you do?
Nothing. I feel like we've been kind of like just in limbo waiting.
No, we have a fun update. We auditioned for something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. We do. We got casted.
In what?
Are we saying in what?
Why not?
In Lopez versus Lopez.
Yeah. So we are going to be, quote unquote, the hipster couple in an episode, which do we give
off?
I don't think
first
we give
off. It's
off
hot LA hipster.
Hot LA hipster couple, which I'm like, I wouldn't look at us and categorize us as a hot LA hipster couple, but we got the part.
I have one line. I've been practicing that one line for like 2 weeks now. I bet you I still butcher it.
You'll do fine.
But I'm excited, though, because it'll be a new experience for us.
Yeah, I think it'll just be fun to be on set and to see how it all works. Because back in the day in college, when I was an extra for things, just really long days. So I wonder if it's going to be the same, because now it's like in an enclosed environment as opposed to just like out in the open.
I think our scene's literally like 5 minutes of the show. And
no, not even.
Not even?
Not even. It's because I think every page in a script is technically 1 minute. So our whole scene is probably 1.5 minutes.
But we have to be on set for 5 days or yeah. 4 to 5 days. Mm-hmm. And
because it's rehearsal, table reads, filming, refilming if you fuck up. I don't know. So
that's crazy.
It'll be fun. So there's that. That's an update. I just think that like we don't think of those things, you know?
Yeah. Well, I totally forgot about it. Even though I was like, hey, that was an update and I forgot about it already.
Kobe still smells.
He's getting
not as terrible.
A little bit better.
Yeah. It's just like a looming scent.
Yeah, all over our couch. Mm. We need to train him better.
We are rewatching Breaking Bad, which we didn't talk about. I feel like that's just one of those shows that you rewatch.
Breaking Bad's awesome. We just finished True Detective. We could talk about like our premieres. We've gone to a couple premieres. That's awesome. We went to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That was a good premiere
for the final season.
We saw Larry David.
He's so funny. His speech was great.
But he walks in to walk the red carpet. And he's like, all right, let's get this over with. He's so like, great.
Ask your questions and let's go. Move on.
Yeah. But we did the True Detective premiere. And True Detective, if you guys haven't seen this season, so good.
Love it. We're on like a Jodie Foster kick because we just watched Naiad.
Oh, that was a really good movie too.
True story.
I love that we're just like, okay, what else? What else have we done? What else are our updates?
Because everyone was like, can't wait to hear your updates on the new season. I'm like, I don't think there was that much.
We do have big updates.
We do. We're waiting.
I think we're confirmed to release it next week. So next episode, we can tell you guys the biggest updates that we have in life. Are we in a movie? Did we win an Oscar? Do we have our own TV show?
You don't know.
Maybe we're moving to Europe. Maybe we're getting another dog.
Oh.
There's a lot of things. I don't know. And it's not just one update. It's multiple.
Multiple updates. Yeah. So the big update is next week. So just wait.
Tune in next week, guys. Because big news is coming. Yeah. So I just feel like we're probably... we're just dancing around for the little things because we're just trying to avoid what the big updates are. I'm excited. It'll be fun to share.
I'm excited. Let's move on because
we just want to jump into questions?
Let's just jump in because I think we're gonna end up spilling the beans. I've almost done it twice. So
you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's just move on.
Questions.
And then we'll give all the updates next week. Yay! Okay. Question number one. Do you guys clean the house together? Who does what and how often? Any tips or habits that make it faster and less stressful?
Yeah, we both clean. Well, I mean, I'm definitely cleaning way more than Alex right now, but that's because you're editing or doing something else.
I just think you have to look at chores, household chores, as a team. Like if I see that the dishwasher needs to be unloaded and I'm the one who sees it first, I want to get it done because I know, why would I leave it for John? Like, I don't think it's like right to necessarily assign. Because
I think we know we'll do it. We know the other one will do it. Like if you see it, you're like, I know if it was me that I would
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think it's a matter of, and if assigning roles works in your relationship, like one takes out the garbage, one is the person mowing the lawn, so be it. But I just think it's making your partner's life easier, but they also have to be on board with that because if they're not trying to make your life easier, it's easy then to be resentful and be like, why would I try to make their life easier if they're not trying to make my life easier?
Right. Yeah.
If it's unbalanced, it's all about balance.
All about balance. No, I agree with you. I just, we've always been more like considerate of each other,
yeah.
like our time and who's doing what in the moment. But we also, not everyone's like that. Like, I feel guilty not doing something if you're doing something in the moment.
So. Right. I think communicating that to your partner, though, if they're not holding their weight, looking at what they're doing, maybe in the moment or how they're contributing, but you have to communicate about that. I just think, again, yeah, it's just us working as a team and not wanting to put the burden on someone else.
It's so tough not to be resentful in the moment. Like when, say, it's... if you're not doing something and I'm cleaning, like I want you to help me because you're not doing something, but I'm not factoring in like all the times that you're working and editing and I'm dicking off, you know, like there's still, I think you have to just be aware also.
Well, we've referenced this before, that one therapist who was on our show in season one, where she talked about like not keeping score. You know, you can't keep score. You're both doing so many different things throughout the day that your meters, like you're not always going to be able to give 100% every time, But it's just being in tune with your partner. It's tough, though. I mean, I know that
collectively, too. Like, you're going to be 50-50 collectively. You can't just look in the moment or in that day. Yeah. I think that's huge. Like, yeah. Don't dick measure.
Don't keep score. I mean, if you want to measure dicks, John.
Don't dick measure or keep score.
Yeah, don't keep score. But tips on making it faster, less stressful is not waiting. Just do it when you see it.
Yeah.
Continue to clean your house as you go. Next question. I've been married to my husband for 2 years now. I'm 26 and he is 29. What is the best advice to de-escalate an argument when your partner loses control with anger? For example, when your partner is yelling at you or calling you names out of anger.
Walk away. I think walking away is number one. Because you can always take your dig if you want, but it's not going to help.
I don't know that we name call. Do we name call?
We don't name call, but we'll be like, fuck you.
I actually saw a TikTok the other day where this couple was like, when we get into heated arguments, like, we have to wear party hats. And so it's hard.
That's actually a great idea.
So they put on like their argument party hats and try to have a conversation with each other. But it's like so hard to stay angry when you're both wearing party hats.
Honestly, that's actually a really good idea. Like, I was like, this is genius. Let's try to de-escalate this situation.
But imagine being mid-fight and being like, hold on, put on your party hat. I think it's a great idea.
As stupid as that sounds, it actually is a really good idea.
Put on your fucking party hat and then go from there. But I think also there's boundaries when it comes to how you argue, like cursing at each other.
And we've done that. We don't call each other names, but we've cursed at each other. And I feel like shit when I do that.
Yeah. And I think our go-to is just walking away though and be like, we'll revisit this when we are calmed down. And then it's so hard to stay mad usually after you're like, it's not heated anymore.
Because you're getting your point across, or you're not. And it's just like in the wrong way. It's not the right way to do it. Doing something in the heat of anger is never productive.
Correct. Next question.
There's a quote, actually.
Here we go.
That I heard.
Here we go.
Look, this resonated with me too. This guy, I don't know, he was on someone's podcast. It's not my quote, but he said, the signs of a weak man are letting other people control or dictate like your emotion, like letting people affect how you react.
Mental strength.
Yeah. I'm like, God, that's so true. I'm so weak.
No, I feel like you need to Google it because like the way that you just butcher.
I didn't butcher it. I don't know that that was exactly how it went. It's like that though. Like, okay. Like having the mental fortitude to not let other people dictate your emotion.
Yeah. That's tough though. And some people just know where your triggers are.
Everything's a trigger.
Everything is a trigger for you.
Next question.
John needs to sip on a beer, a cerveza, while we're doing this podcast. Next question. A fellow mom friend always tells me that she sees me as her little sister. She is 11 years older than me, but we have children the same age. She has 2 kids and I have 4. It seems like everything I do, she judges me and tells me what she thinks I should do instead. It feels like she mothers me more than being a friend to me. Should I cut off the relationship or try to talk it through? I just don't feel like being under a microscope with a friend.
Seems like an insecurity.
On the other mom's end?
Yeah. Like she's like trying to get her point across or like make you feel inferior to her. Why though? Do you think she thinks you have a better relationship with like your marriage than her? Like, are you more successful than her? Is there something that's making her act that way?
It sounds like it's more geared towards parenting, but I think people just have general opinions about what they do. And I think they try to justify what they're doing by telling other people what they should do. There's nothing that I hate more is, you know what you should do? Don't fucking tell me what I should do. Don't tell me what I should do. But yeah, I just think that I wouldn't take it as malicious, but take it with a grain of salt. Like, you don't have to take her opinion and maybe ask her and just be like, why do you feel the need to express your opinion about how I'm handling something? Like, this is what works for my family.
Maybe that's where she feels like she's needed. You know, maybe she's not getting that in her own home. Like, she wants to feel like she's superior in something. I don't know. There's a lot of different angles. You don't know.
I don't think you necessarily have to cut off the relationship, but you could just distance yourself as much as you need.
I think you just say something, be like, don't worry about what the fuck I'm doing. and leave it there. I mean, say something. Yeah, I wouldn't just cut it off without having a conversation.
But I think, like, again, you having your own reasons as to why you're parenting the way that you're parenting is none of her business.
Right.
So I just think by you saying, this is what works for us.
Devil's advocate, have you been asking her? Have you been asking her questions or, like, started those conversations where she felt more inclined to give her opinion?
Right. Is it just unsolicited advice?
Who likes that?
This is not unsolicited. People write in and then we give our advice. It's not necessarily great, but we do our best.
Are we supposed to give a disclaimer every episode?
I think probably.
Don't take our advice.
We are not professionals.
Or that.
We're not therapists. I go to therapy. Maybe imagine I spend my therapy sessions just like asking my therapist these
questions.
And
she's the one who's actually answering these for us.
I pay her to give me these answers.
She's like a consultant.
Yeah, and I write these down. I'm like, little do you know that you're actually on a show.
Based off of my answers, there's no way I asked a consultant for
that's not happening. All right. When you guys leave Kobe for days or even a week, do you get anxiety? If so, do you have tips on managing this? For some context, I have a trip coming up and I have to leave my husky for 6 days. My dad will be staying with her, but we haven't been apart this long and I'm having so much anxiety. I need help.
I don't get anxiety when we're leaving on a trip. I feel bad when it's like a day thing because I don't want to make him go like 6 hours without peeing, you know? I hate that. I feel bad that he's home and like we're in the area. But like if we're on a trip, no, I don't care.
Traveling though, you need to leave your dog. And I'm sure it's the same, even harder with your kids, with someone you trust. Because for Kobe, he will fucking escape. So if you don't have a secure yard, a secure location, he'll run away and get sprayed by a skunk. And so for me, my anxiety is only like, okay,
is he going to ruin someone else's property or life?
Is he going to pee on their shit? Like, are you a person that we could trust though? So I think it's, if you could trust your dad, like it'll be fine. And then finding a dog sitter who could maybe send updates, you know, like we keep an AirTag on Kobe because he runs away. So maybe do that.
What are those? What's it like, WAGs? There's like one or two that we keep getting recommended to.
Like it's a
like Rover
dog walker app, I think. WAG,
Rover, something.
You could
like that.
Look through there, look at reviews. But again, you said that you have your dad. Just ask your dad to send updates. Give him a detailed list. Like your dog will be fine. It's like a little vacation.
I mean, I wouldn't be overbearing with it. This person's doing you a favor.
One picture a day is not being overbearing. Okay, just send me an update of my handsome boy's face. That's it.
I agree.
That's all I need. Any other tips?
I guess mine wasn't a tip. I was just saying how my feelings towards it. Having the updates are fine. I think the one photo kind of makes you feel like secure with where he's at or she's at.
Yeah. Just know that your dog is probably, I mean, at least this is Kobe. Like Kobe doesn't give a shit about us. He's probably having more fun.
We also don't put him in like a kennel. Or whatever. Like we are bringing him with like friends or family. I probably would have more anxiety if I was like dropping him off at a kennel. I'd feel bad.
I'd be more concerned that Kobe would get in a fight. Like he's not an aggressive dog, but he's getting older and he snaps. So my fear would be like, just don't bring him around. Whatever. You could.
I mean, other dogs like to hump Kobe. It's an issue. Like he's not really good with other dogs.
You could run through so many ifs and what ifs, but I just think like you trust your dad, your dog will be fine. Good luck. Have fun on your
trip. Best of luck.
Next question. I do a lot at home. I cook, I clean, I grocery shop, I do the laundry. My husband takes care of some chores as well, but not as often as me. We both work full-time jobs and finish work around the same time. I feel like I have too much on my plate and I've communicated this multiple times to him. He acknowledges my feelings and he tries to take on more work on his part. However, he has a tendency to prioritize work outside of the house, whether it's helping his mom, his dad, his friends, etc. I feel like our house and our marriage are my first priority, whereas it's not his. Any advice on how to deal with this? Communication and being open doesn't seem to be helping much. That's hard, I think, when you live close to family and they require
you probably feel so guilty, like having to do stuff with his family.
Like, I don't want to speak for my parents, but I know my mom being married to my dad, because my dad's a contractor, so he's very handy. He's willing to help everyone, but like the projects at their house are done last because he's like willing, he wants to help his mom, his family members. And so
I wonder if it's more of like a safety thing, like he's secure, like I can, you know, he's kind of putting you on the back burner, basically. Kind of like your dad's doing with the projects, but maybe because he's more comfortable with like knowing like some at some point he'll do that, or like it's not going anywhere.
Right, like he'll get to it eventually. But I've
which
heard
is not right, but
this question before, or I feel like we've spoken about this, and it's like if it gets to the point where these projects or these things, even if it's helping around the house or doing laundry, aren't getting done, outsource. Like if they're not prioritizing those things, be like, okay, well then I'm going to hire someone to do it. If like you're not mowing the lawn, if you're not fixing the shed, like I'll give you until next week, but we can't keep putting this off. Like I get you have other things.
It's actually
going
a really good idea, because you're like, now the ball's in your court. Like we're going to spend money, mm-hmm. which I know he's not going to want.
Exactly.
Because he's like, well, I can do it, but you're not getting to it mm-hmm. in time. So
same thing with the chores. Like if you can really hire some help and just be like, I can't do this all on top of working. And honestly, maybe outsourcing would be beneficial to you guys because it'd give you more free time to spend together. If you can figure it out in your budget, you know, it might not be a bad option.
Or just throw it out like a threat, you know, light a little fire under his ass.
I mean, we love threats. Nothing to get the ball rolling
threats
more
are the best.
Than threatening, than giving an ultimatum.
Next question.
I never know if we answer questions well enough. We definitely don't.
Who cares? We do the best we can. Next question. Let's do it.
Like every time I'm like, are we done with answering that question? You're like, yeah, we are. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you ready to go? Where are
I'm
we
ready.
Going?
Next question. Let's go.
You just look like you're ready to go like to Coachella or
sort
something.
I'm going
to
speed through these. Let's go. Boom,
Speaking
boom.
Of Coachella, we've never been.
We were invited.
We were.
Being just jammed up in a crowd of like a bunch of people who are drunk or on drugs just sounds fucking terrible.
I think we did. Well, we talked about it last season because we spoke about how you wanted to go to Burning Man and then everyone got flooded at Burning Man.
I didn't know exactly what it was.
I think like the festival world just like passed over us. You know, we're too old. I don't want to say that because people can go whatever. But it's just like not something that would fill my cup these days. I don't know how.
I mean, I want to do it, but like a bougie way of doing it. Like there's AC, there's like a fan blowing in my face.
So for you, that's just staying at home.
I don't have people like dry humping me in the crowd as I'm like trying to listen to the band.
So that's staying at home
for
you.
And I'm short, so I can't fucking see anything. I ever tell you I crowd surfed?
When?
I tore my meniscus. I went to Ozfest in high school.
Ozfest?
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Ozfest like 3 times.
Wow.
I crowd surf. I have my brace on. They're crowd surfing me. I'm like, yeah. Then my shoe falls off.
You never found that shoe again.
And this is I've only been there an hour. It's like a 9 hour thing. I don't know. I actually don't remember how long it was, but it's gravel. It's a gravel parking lot. So I have my cast on, and that leg is the one that didn't have the shoe. So I have one shoe. I'm just standing in the back. I'm like, fuck. All of a sudden, I see this shoe get thrown across the crowd onto stage. I think Chevelle or someone was playing. They took my shoe and launched it. And I got it back from the security guard. Isn't that crazy?
That is actually crazy that you
got it
back.
It was like 40 minutes later. Huh. Cool. Next question.
I'm surprised I've never heard that story.
I have. You just don't pay attention.
Did you ever go in mosh pits?
Yeah. If I was crowd surfing, I was definitely mosh pitting.
Stupid. Mosh pits are just like,
people are like,
let's just swing our arms around. So stupid. So dangerous. Like you're going to get knocked in the head.
In the moment.
No.
Of the goth. Like,
probably why you're dyslexic.
That has nothing to do with it. Traumatic brain injury.
Too many mosh pits.
Yes.
Next question. My mother-in-law drives me crazy. She has a tendency to compliment me almost every time she sees me. Sometimes it's my outfit, my hairstyle, or even my cooking. I know it sounds sweet, but every single time she compliments me, it's quickly followed by, but I can never look as nice as you, or I just look like an old lady, or even my cooking is never this
good. Give her a compliment. Fuck. She's fishing for a compliment. Give her a compliment.
So let me finish, John. Like I'm literally getting there.
Is this a quickie or is this like
No, we're out of the quickies.
Give everyone update? So this is like a big question.
I mean, I think if people are following along, they could tell by the length of the question that we're out of the quickies.
You never know, because some of our quickies take forever. In questions, not sexually. They're always quick.
Sexually? How quickies. Is that? Move. Let me just fucking finish. People love to be like, Alex doesn't let John talk. John doesn't let me talk. My one job is reading the questions. Let me get to it. Moving on. My cooking is never good. I can never do this. The compliment ends up just making me feel bad because she turns it on herself in the end. I even try to tell her that she's great too, and she won't listen. I feel like an asshole because sometimes I want to say, well, yeah, I'm 29 and you're 70, so sorry. I get that she's trying to be nice and she means well, but does she always have to end the compliments with putting herself down? It makes me feel so turned off to talk to her because I know exactly what she's going to say and I find it unbelievably annoying. She's a grown woman and I don't think I should have to think of her feelings all the time and then feel guilty when I think this way. What should I do?
She's fucking 70.
I think.
Give her the goddamn compliment. This poor lady is just has a crushing soul, is just looking for somebody just to give her a little.
She's like, I don't get it from my husband. I don't get it from my
kids. What's her home life? Exactly. Probably nothing. She probably does nothing. And
you're just assuming this shit.
Because I want her to feel bad. I want her to know this poor lady is just wants a compliment
when I hear this,
from her daughter-in-law.
I'm like, it could be worse. You know, like at least she's complimenting
at least she
you.
She likes you.
Right.
What if she was like.
What if she's like,
what if she came to you every time, like, you know what? Would it kill you to lose a little weight? You know what I'm saying?
Or, like, if anything, saying, like, not eating your cooking.
Oh, okay.
I think there's.
Don't draw the line. You crossed the line.
Did I? No, I didn't. Listen, I just don't want my feelings hurt, so I won't do certain things.
Listen, Alex, you can't cook everything with chicken broth, okay?
I just like to cook healthy, John. Not everything needs to be doused in oil. Anyway, people are going to be like, what? Yeah, we're talking about our own situation here. Okay,
no. Olive oil is key. We're Italian.
I love olive oil too, John. There's like a balance though, okay?
If it makes you feel better, they don't like my cooking either. And you know what? That's okay.
I don't mind.
Let them fucking cook.
Exactly.
And just like that.
And just like
problem
that.
Solved.
Next question. Just kidding. No. Okay. I think ultimately here is she's fishing for compliments. She wants to feel what I'm
wanted?
Looking for. Not wanted, but like
comforted.
Acknowledged in some sort of way. And I think it is normal for the generation of our parents, at least like even my mom, if she cooks dinner, my mom will give a million disclaimers as to why it's terrible before anyone has tried it. And it could be like a 10 course meal. And my mom will be like, I'm so sorry. This is just a mishmash dinner. I hardly put it together.
It could be just like a low self-esteem.
Yeah. I think they just like to tear themselves down. It's easy to like self-deprecate before other people. So maybe it's just an insecurity thing where she is already assuming that you're thinking these things. And so she's just like getting to it before, not realizing that it's really annoying to you. But I think there's nothing you could, I don't think that you can really say anything other than try to build her up.
I would go into this with some soft love, not tough love.
Right.
Soft love and be like, listen.
Listen.
You are an amazing.
Sandy.
Setting the scene. Sandy, look. You too are beautiful in your own way. And also, you need to stop putting yourself down because you're a great person. And it really hurts me to see you feel this way about yourself.
Yeah. Nailed it, John.
Next question.
You know what grosses me out is that anytime that you think you nailed it, like you have to flex.
I'm just really good. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just so talented. That's why I'm on this podcast,
like,
right?
Like, put your boobs away.
That's why you put me on the podcast, right?
I'm going to throw up.
Next question.
I think your mother-in-law is harmless. She's just looking for a little bit of love. And you know what? That's what we're all looking for. So maybe give it to her.
Give it to her straight.
With compliments.
With compliments.
That's like John.
Actually,
he loves words.
I guess you're
of
not giving it to her straight then because you're kind of lying, right?
Well, no, not if like she deserves a compliment. It's just your words of affirmation. I give you compliments all the time. Your muscles are nice. Next question. Am I the asshole for not going to one of my best friend's weddings? My husband and I were invited to two weddings that were on the same day. One is for a good friend of mine. We'll call her Tina. And the other is for a good couple friend of ours. We'll call them Pam and Jim. Love it. We knew about Tina's wedding date first, and we had 100% planned on being there. But then we got to save the date for Pam and Jim's wedding, which just so happened to be on the same exact day as Tina's wedding. My husband has known Jim since middle school, so Jim is basically like family, and we run in the same group of friends. Also to note, John, lock it up. Like, you're distracting me. I can't
Let's
focus.
Go.
If you were having to read these questions, you'd be yelling at me. I'm starting over.
Please don't.
I'll just summarize the beginning, okay? She's asking if she's an asshole for not going to one of her best friend's weddings. Her husband's middle school bestie, they got the invitation after her best friend. And so whatever. My husband has known Jim since middle school. So basically Jim is family and we run in the same group of friends. Also to note, all of our mutual friends and family will be at their wedding, which is in Mexico. Tina is my friend from college. So my husband would rather definitely go to Mexico over Tina's wedding, which was in Colorado. I battled with this a lot because Tina was the maid of honor in my wedding. And I have had feelings that she was planning to ask me to be in her wedding as well. I even looked at flights to see if it was possible to attend both, but the flight times just didn't make sense. I also suggested to my husband that maybe he go to Mexico and I go to Colorado, but we don't love the idea of having to split up for the weekend. At the end of the day, we decided on Mexico because my husband and I both want to be there, and it seems to make a little more sense for us because our whole friend group and family will be there as well, and we just don't want to miss out on that experience. I tried to set up a time for me and Tina to meet for dinner so I could tell her in person, but dinner plans fell through, so I ended up calling her and telling her over the phone. The conversation did not go well. She ended up crying, and we ended the conversation very abruptly because she was so emotional about it. I told her to take her time to process things, but that I definitely wanted to continue the conversation because I don't feel like I was able to say everything I needed to say. It's been 3 weeks and I haven't heard anything from her. I'm really struggling with this because I've always been a good friend to her and I've always been there for her, and this is really the first time that I've dropped the ball on something in our friendship. I hope that she knows me well enough to know that I would not make this malicious attack against her.
Kobe's over here moving around, pulling the cords.
But then get him out of the room, John.
Is this question still
John,
Alex, honestly, lady, listen.
No, listen.
Ma'am.
You listen. This is not
this
a quickie.
This is the one time I don't need the cliff notes.
This is not a quickie.
I get it. Your friend's upset. John, it's such an easy.
John, wait. Let Kobe out of the room. I know you're trying to rush through this, but like it's in the details, okay?
It's not, though. It's so this is such like a...
She wants her friend to know her well enough that she was not making a malicious attack against her. I was simply just weighing our options and had to take my husband's feeling into account as well. I feel terrible because I know I really hurt her, but at the same time, I feel like we're adults, and I don't think that this is necessarily something that needs to be dramatic and end our friendship over. Am I the asshole?
Can I go now?
Now that the question is over, the floor is
half
yours.
Half of it's irrelevant. All I'm...
I don't think so.
Happened to me. My best friend, one of my friends growing up, childhood friend, Schmitty, had his wedding the same day that my buddy Sean had his wedding.
Whose invitation did you get first?
Sean was first, so I went to Sean's first because I committed.
Right.
Right. So Schmitty, like, he understood, but like I felt bad, but like you got to commit to whoever you went to first. Is that what she did? She didn't do that.
So if you listen to the question, you would find that Tina, her friend from college, who was the maid of honor in her wedding, sent her the invitation first. Then they
No. I don't care about the invitation. Did she say yes?
Yeah, they were planning on going.
She confirmed first.
That's what it says.
Okay, so if she confirmed to that first, you are the asshole for backing out of that, 100%.
So the verdict is, you are the asshole.
It doesn't matter if it's your best friend or a fucking acquaintance.
No.
Whoever you... If you,
I disagree.
Why?
If it's an acquaintance, like a work friend, you know what I mean? Or someone from college who you haven't spoken
to in
years.
Fine, if you're not in the party, that's different.
To me, like... She was the maid of honor in your wedding. I'm sorry, but if my maid of honor, who was the maid of honor in my wedding, was getting married at this on the same day that one of your best friends was married, we're splitting
change
up.
Change the fucking date. If she wants, she's
change
so
the date.
Bad. If she wants, if everything's
John,
around you,
to change it for one person.
If she's going to be that upset, then change if you want me there that bad. Because you already committed to another one.
No, because to me, that says my wedding is not important enough to you that even if I did change the date for you, if something else comes up, you're going to choose that.
My schedule and plans are important to you. Like, you want me to drop everything for you even though I committed something else?
Your word is your bond, baby. That's what I'm saying. She committed to her friend's wedding. Her friend, who was the maid of honor in her wedding, she committed to and backed out.
Yeah, because you're the asshole.
Oh, so we're agreeing. Because you're getting annoyed and saying her friend should change the wedding date.
No, I'm saying if she was going to, if her friend, dude, just
so
go
what you say it. Doesn't make any sense.
What I said in the beginning, you commit to whichever one that you.
No, I want to go back to what you said about changing the wedding date. No one should fucking change their wedding date to accommodate to their friend who can't now canceled.
Right, that's the big part. That's the big part. That's what I'm saying. If she canceled, that's different. But if she's mad that you committed to somebody else and then...
But that's not this. That's right. Not what happened.
Right.
So you're
I
making
thought
up
that's
scenarios.
What you said. I thought that's what you said at first.
No.
Yeah.
No, she committed to her friend's wedding, who was a maid of honor in her wedding. Then her husband's friend from middle school, they're getting married the same day, and they chose that wedding instead.
Okay, like I said in the beginning, either way, you're still the asshole.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree here. Like, it sucks to, you know...
But I'm going to still fight you on this a little bit.
Fight me, John.
Because you're saying, you're like, I'm sorry, but if my best friend was getting married, I would back out the other one. Now,
no, John, I didn't say that.
No, your own thing. You're saying, you said in the beginning, roll the tape. You literally go.
I'm literally painting this picture as the same. I said, if my best friend, who was the maid of honor in my wedding, was getting married on the same day that your best friend were splitting up. I'm not saying change your fucking wedding date. I'm saying you go to that wedding and I'm going to my best friend's wedding. If she was the maid of honor of my wedding, I owe that to her. And she's my best friend. To me, it sounds like she's not your best friend.
Okay.
Because otherwise you would go to her wedding.
You were saying like you were invited to someone's wedding. You agreed to that wedding. You yourself. You were like, if you were invited to someone's wedding, you went, but then your best friend's wedding, you got the invitation second, you're going to back out on the first one because your best friend was getting married.
My best friend is going to trump your best friend 10 out of 10 times. So if your best friend is getting married, even if we committed to your best friend, but I would not expect you to come to my best friend's wedding.
Okay, now I got a hypothetical for you. What if the first wedding that you were part of, it's not your best friend, but you're in the wedding party. But then your best friend is having on the same day. And you get that second.
Who's his first?
It's not, no. You're in it. It's not your best friend though, but you're a bridesmaid. But then your best friend, your childhood, your lifelong best friend decides to have her wedding on the same day. What are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
If I got invited to that one wedding first that I was a bridesmaid in, I would do everything in my power the second that I was invited, the second I knew the date that I was a bridesmaid in that wedding, to let my best friend know I am unavailable this date.
Okay, so you're still committed to that day.
Well, then I'd feel like, again, if like you're still close enough with someone who's in that, you're in the wedding, so you're clearly best friends. You might not be the maid of honor in
that
wedding.
So morally, you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah, like again, okay. You committed to that.
That's what I wanted to know.
I think that like, but to my point, this isn't, Jim is not her best friend. Like her and she's.
I get it. You're compromising. You're splitting up. That's fine.
I think that's okay to split up. Like you should be able to split up dates. Like you can still be in a relationship and happily married with your spouse at different weddings at the same time.
Right.
I just think, yeah, if I was your bestie, I would be fucking pissed too, because then I would no longer feel like you prioritize our friendship. It just changes things. Next.
That was exhausting.
That was exhausting because I just feel like we were aligned for a minute and then
you
were...
Well, you threw some curveball statement out there.
If
we
roll
the tape,
if you let me finish, like you would understand that I was talking about me choosing still to go to my best friend's wedding and letting you go to your friend's wedding.
Okay.
I mean, whatever, John. You're annoying. Next question. I, 32 female, and my boyfriend, 30 male, have been dating for 2 months. We've been friends for about 12 years and recently reconnected and jumped into a relationship. I no longer drink just for the fact that I don't enjoy it and I'm on medication. He knows that I no longer drink, but he does. I have no problem with him drinking alcohol, but he always has to have a drink in his hand. We could be at home and he always has to make a drink. And on top of that, he overdrinks, drinking to the point where he's sick the next day and it ruins the plans that we have. When I brought it up to my parents, they told me that it sounds like he's an alcoholic and that I should talk to him about his excessive drinking. I don't know how to even bring it up to him that I'm concerned about his drinking. How do I address my concern? What should I say?
At first, I was going to say, if it doesn't affect you, like, it's not really on you, like, for let somebody else drink. But if he's, like, affecting you in the way, like, you have plans or affecting, like, your relationship, then that's, you do have to have that conversation.
You've also only been together for 2 months. Like, it's a slippery slope when it comes to, again, if this was something where you guys were dating for 12 years, you've been married, and now this is a new pattern in his relationship. But, again, only, you have to decide what you accept deemable in a relationship.
Drinking is a slippery slope, too. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing to, like, it's a hard thing to get in control. So you being in there for 2 months, I mean, how committed are you, really? Like, you guys were friends beforehand. Maybe go back to being friends until he, like, works that out.
I also think a way to bring up your concern is maybe addressing the situations in which his drinking has impacted you, like where you can't go to something, like maybe turn it on yourself. Like, don't be like, you suck because you drink. Be like, my feelings were hurt, or I felt disappointed that we couldn't go to this together because of XYZ, and see kind of how he responds to that.
I agree. Yeah. Go in the card with how it affects you.
Yeah, because I think to point a finger, and again, people just have to come to terms with their own drinking, and they can get very defensive about it. So I think you just have to bring up how it impacts you and see where that goes.
Yeah, don't feel bad. Like, don't tolerate that bullshit if it bothers you. Like,
because it's your life too.
Yeah, fuck that. Like, you're gonna have to accommodate to him and his drinking. Like, fix your shit or I'm out, you know?
Or I'm out. I mean, again, it's easier said than done, but I just think that you're not super invested in this relationship yet, that you really owe this person anything. Of course you care for him and want the best. That's why I do think have a conversation, address it, but see how he responds. And depending on that, I think you could make your decision from there.
What's your thoughts on the family part of this?
What do you mean? Like, you her know, going to her family?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Being in a relationship, when seeking outside help, right, is going to family smart?
I think it depends, because we've like had conversations like this before, and I know that I've said you shouldn't talk shit about your spouse, go to your therapist. But on the flip side of things, sometimes there are concerns, whether you're in an abusive relationship or you have genuine concerns for your partner, that it's just natural to talk about the people in your circle who love you, who might have good advice to give. And so I don't think that tattling to your parents about intimate details of your relationship, but I think everyone has a gut feeling of what's important to share, you know, certain concerns to talk to about family or friends about. And so I think this is one of them.
I would just keep in mind, don't fucking hold anyone's opinions or thoughts against them then.
True.
Like, be prepared. If you're going to talk to your family about that, like, they'll remember that.
Right.
And they'll be in the back of their head. So I just understand that.
But just trust your gut, you know, whatever feels good for you. But yeah, to John's point, you do have to be prepared that your family is now kind of going to be involved in this, and they'll probably be checking in on updates as well.
Yeah.
Next question. My boss and longtime friend confided in me that she and her husband are having problems, and she's having an emotional affair with someone she used to work with. She told me he's much younger than her, and they just happened to cross paths recently. She even told me his first name. Only thing is, she's lying to me. The guy she's having the affair with isn't someone she used to work with. It's someone we currently work with, and he's over 15 years younger than her. How do I know this? She disappears from the office with him and is always physically near him and talking to him, even when she should be working. They text all the time. She buys lunch for him. And most notably, several other employees have noticed the odd and inappropriate behavior between them and have started voicing their suspicions. Also, I'm 99% sure it's definitely a physical affair as well, due to the fact that they always leave the office together for extended periods of time. I even caught her in a lie about leaving the building for a community meeting when he happened to be out of the office at the same time. I am newer in my leadership position at work and have really been relying on her mentorship for this role, as well as the many responsibilities she is supposed to be completing at work in her senior position. She has completely neglected her responsibilities and focus since she started this affair. My question is, do I tell her I know who she's really having an affair with and that it's affecting the work environment, my ability to rely on her mentorship in this new role and her overall reputation with the staff? Or do I keep playing dumb and let this all fall apart on its own?
Keep playing dumb. And if you were to say something, I would go above her. Why would you tell the person who's doing the fucked up act that you know? Because all she's going to do is bury that or turn it in a way where you get fucked somehow. Whistle blow above her. If you're going to go that route.
If she's your good friend and she confided in you already that she's having an emotional affair, I would go to her first. I would be like,
what? I think she was the boss.
She is the boss.
Yeah, so she's the head.
So she's the head. That's what I'm saying. My boss and my, like, so there's no one above her. Like, she is the head. So I think, again,
there's an HR department.
There probably is an HR department, but I think because she confided in you that she's already having an emotional affair, I would address your concerns with her and just be like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. You're not really that sneaky anymore. Like, people.
I mean, how much do you care? You're saying that you're like, I rely on her mentorship, but she's not really helping you anymore. I'm like,
work outside of it. I just think, like, if she is your friend, and again, she's the one who opened up the floodgates to this conversation. It's not like you're observing this and bringing something and assuming things. Like, she's the one who told you that she's having an emotional affair. And so I think by you saying, I wouldn't, if I were you, assume that she was doing anything physical. Like, don't address that to her. But I would be like, hey.
What hard facts?
Exactly.
Do you have?
What facts do you have? And just be like, I don't know what's going on, but, like, lock it up. Or because people are chatting and I'm looking out for you and I want you and your husband to either work things out or just fucking separate from your husband so, like, we can move on from this.
Is she friends with the husband?
Probably not. I don't think so. I mean, again, she doesn't work with the husband. I personally would address things with your boss, your friend first, only because she confided in you. If she didn't, I'd be like, all right, we all know what's going on, but, like, let it ride.
True, I guess, because then in the end, if it gets worse, who's she going to fucking blame first for all this coming out?
I mean, she can't blame anyone except herself.
Yeah, if you were actually, like, a decent human being, but most people are going to try to point blame to someone else, be like, I got caught because you told everyone. So cover yourself. I guess you'd be like, what you're saying, talk to her. Heads up. Everyone knows what the fuck you're doing.
Right. You're it's not obvious. Being super sneaky.
I'm not telling people. They just see it.
Like, I'm giving you the heads up to get your shit together and lock it up before it gets worse.
Right.
Scandalous. Oh, that's kind of what I miss about being in a workplace is, like, workplace drama. With me and you.
That'd keep you going through the day. But
it's just, that's why. So John, he'll be like, why do you like watching Love is Blind? I'm like, because there's drama. I'm like, it's just us.
That show's so fucking stupid. But do they get married at the end of it? They see each other and, like, then they're like, oh my God, let's get married. That's smart.
You have to watch.
Is there any success stories from Love is Blind?
Wait, there is. There are success stories of Love is Blind, but there is a show about where, like, you just walk
married
up.
Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the show. I just
Me neither. I haven't watched that one. But Love is Blind is it's just so good. It's just good. And it's just, like, so dramatic. I don't know. So.
But it's not. It's not good. At all. Who came up with that idea?
Netflix.
I mean, I like Netflix. I'm not saying I don't like Netflix, but anyways.
I think you would 100% be into the drama of it if you watch it. Just like Vanderpump, like having it out in the background. You're like,
unless
what?
It's Virgin River, I'm out.
My God, what was the last time you even watched Virgin River? You haven't even watched the new season.
I was watching it with you and you don't want to watch it with me.
No, I do. But, like, I just.
Is Jack, is he okay? Is his bar all right? Did his troop, is he, like, arrested for murder? We don't know.
We don't know. We have to watch the new season. But all I'm saying is because we miss out on work
What
drama,
if that's the show we're
work
on?
Tea.
What if Virgin River's the show we're on?
Yeah, I bet people are really going to believe it now.
Oh, wait, I already said what the show we're on, right? Did I say in the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, but you mean for the news for next week?
Yeah.
Like, if we are on a
show. You don't know. Next question.
Just be better at keeping your secrets, John. My boyfriend, 34, and I, female, 35, have been together for 3 years. I moved into his house about 3 months in, and his mother lives with us. She has lived with him for a couple years before I moved in, and before that, she lived with his other brother, his wife, and their baby. She hasn't worked in years because of some health issues, but after living with her, I've come to realize it's not just health issues. This woman is just lazy and entitled. I've never experienced narcissism as extreme as I have with her. She does not pay rent, and she does not contribute to the household. Meanwhile, her shit takes up 80% of my boyfriend's house. He didn't care before me about the space being used, as he's a video game slash football guy. So as long as he just has his desk in his room, he could care less about everything else. I, on the other hand, would like to decorate, clean, entertain, but because there's nowhere I could comfortably do this, I'm stuck biting my tongue because it's his mom, and I don't want to be that girl that puts a wedge between a son and his mom. At least that's what I told myself in the beginning. I've since changed my stance on his mother living with us. I want her gone. She is toxic for my relationship. So much so that when we bought a camper for ourselves and our dogs so we could take long road trips for more comfortably, she told him, quote, "I want to be your girlfriend. I've been asking for a camper for years and you've never bought me one. I want to be your girlfriend." He and I are paying 50-50 on everything involving the camper. He did not buy it for me. We bought it for ourselves. Recently, I cleaned out the kitchen and got rid of some wine slash champagne glasses that hadn't been touched since I moved in 3 years ago. They were just plain glasses, and no one drinks wine or champagne, especially her. A few months later, she asked where they were, and she told me she wanted to get rid of them, to which I responded that I already had. She then told me that they had sentimental value. And then she was mad, although I confirmed with my boyfriend that they weren't even hers and they weren't sentimental. She has not talked to me since then, and it's been about a month, maybe more. I'm fine with that. But my question is this. My boyfriend sees my perspective and is getting annoyed with her as well, but he feels obligated to let her live with us as she doesn't work and is 90% dependent on him to provide for her. So she has no means to live on her own and won't live with the other brother as she hates the daughter-in-law and can't climb the stairs to the bedrooms. How do I get her out of our house?
Who's the common denominator? Hates the other daughter-in-law?
Right. Like, what does the other daughter-in-law have to say about this?
I think it comes to a point where obviously it's you guys are going to be, I'm assuming, getting married, having a family, doing your own thing. Like, you guys are going to be the family.
Right.
Like, she's the outlier. Mm-hmm. So something needs to be done about that. I mean, again, you knowing and willingly moved in with him and his mom, though.
But maybe he painted this picture that his mom is chill.
Don't
they have a
assume.
Good,
you yell good. At me for assuming.
No, so me? You don't know. I yell at you for assuming.
You don't know what the situation
is. No, of course. No one should ever assume. But like, if he said, I have a good, healthy like relationship with my mom, she stays in her side of the house. It's our house. I mean, I
see her point.
100%.
If someone's being lazy, not doing shit, contributing, that would piss me off. If she's capable, which she is. The girlfriend comment, that was fucking weird. And you're splitting everything 50-50. She's got to go.
I don't know that they're splitting everything 50-50, but it sounds like the camper is 50-50.
I could see where this is a difficult decision for you. And if you're wondering if you feel bad for bringing up, like bringing to attention your concerns and issues, but you're not in the wrong. Like if what you're saying is true from everything I'm hearing, like, something needs to be done about that.
Yeah, I think you're 100% justified in your feelings about his mom. Also, because again, you guys are in your mid-30s. You just like want your own space together.
Wouldn't his mother want him to like grow and start his own family, do his own thing? Like a good person, a good parent would probably want that for their child.
Well, you would hope so. But I think that some moms have toxic relationships with their sons, like unhealthy expectations, or like they have this weird bond where they're like, I want to be the most important woman in my son's life. So it's like they go through this weird transition when they have a girlfriend that it's like jealousy. Hmm. And it's odd.
It's very odd. Yeah.
But people, it happens.
All right. So what should she do?
I mean, this is a conversation that you have to have with your boyfriend about the future of your relationship. Because if this is impacting your relationship with him, you have to say, this isn't working. We need to get our own space. Your mom has to either carry her
weight. Put her in the trailer.
Give the camper to her.
I'm willing to, I'll pay 100% of that trailer to put her in the trailer.
And I don't know where you guys are at financially, if you can get a bigger house.
This is a loan situation.
But like, a garage area, a place where there's a mother-in-law suite. Because I also see his point where he's like, what am I going to do? Kick my mom out? But he then has to have the conversation with his mother about
he should have boundaries. The conversation with his other brother too. Be like, let's work together to figure out what to do with mom. Like,
we both know that she's crazy.
Right, that's my stomach. I'm starving. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's not just on him. It should be on him and his brother to figure out the situation because neither one of them.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be with either one of them. I mean, the other daughter-in-law doesn't want her around, so yeah.
It'd be a different situation because I understand that as like our parents are getting older, sometimes there is a sibling who has to take their parents in. And in different cultures, that's just normal. Generations live with each other. But in this situation, if it's impacting your relationship, you guys aren't even married yet, that can really put a strain on the two of you, your mental health. I don't know that I would have lived with you if like you had to have your parents living with you, you know, because I think that it would impact our relationship.
Right.
I mean, I love your parents.
Teach his own. It's just, this is a toxic relationship between the mother and the sons. So that needs to be addressed.
And I don't think it's on you to talk to her about this. It's for you to address it with your boyfriend. He needs to be a big boy and set boundaries with his mommy.
Right. But I do get where he's coming from.
Are you just like trying to high five me?
No, I was like, but sure.
I was like, are we holding hands? That's it, John. That was a long question. So I'm just proud of you, as I said. I'm proud of you for getting through that one.
I really turned on the afterburners for those last couple questions.
What does that mean?
I don't know. All right. So instead of icks.
Yeah.
We're over the icks.
We're going to do some positive.
We're over the would you rathers. Now we're over the icks. We're going to do some.
Over. Speaking of over, it's things that we're over. We're overly excited. We're overwhelmed. We're overjoyed. So what are you over this week?
I'm just over the rain in California. I'm over it because just like we have an old roof. It's just like every time it rains, I feel like all the water is going to dump inside of our house. We had a little leak.
It did dump
it's
in our house.
It's fixed now, but it's just like.
Was that your stomach?
That was my stomach.
Wow. That was loud.
I feel like the California weather has been so crazy. We've only been here a year and a half.
I know. But when it's good, it's good.
Right.
You know, like what's the weather in New York right now? Probably 30. Yeah.
Why are we talking about New York?
Because I'm just comparing and contrasting, you know? That's what we do here. Well, I'm overly anticipating
next week's episode.
But like, when is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce going
to
get engaged?
I don't care. Whatever you're about to talk about,
no,
I do not care.
I'm really like, I'm overjoyed for the future of them because I'm just waiting. I'm like, oh my gosh, give the people what they want. Like, get married, start your family, have kids.
That
like,
guy's killing it, by the way. Thanks to Taylor Swift.
He won the Super Bowl fully from Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's all because of Taylor Swift. Okay. No, Super Bowl aside, like he's doing so many ads. I think he talked about going into like traditional after the NFL season. Like at some point when he's done, he's like very interested in
that. I feel
like
he still has some years in his career.
I think he said a couple more years or something, but he wants to do it. And he's good at it too. He was on SNL.
Him and T-Swift, they're going to just like start the cutest little family. Yeah, I think so. And I just can't wait for it.
They're the power couple.
They're just like...
They're like Hunger Games.
Too cute.
They're like, what's her name? The Hunger Games?
Katniss and Peeta?
I was thinking Hermione. Yeah, Katniss and Peeta.
Harry Potter.
Katniss and Peeta Chip.
Speaking of Peeta Chips, let's eat lunch.
Yes. Wait, I got to do... Wait.
Oh, read a review.
What else though? Is that it? That's what you're over?
I think that's it. Yeah, I'm just like... Oh, I just can't wait for them to get engaged.
Okay, married. Cool. All right. Review from Renita O. Love, 5 stars. I've seen you guys in TikTok first and didn't realize you had a podcast. Now I'm addicted. I love your vibes together. You remind me of my friends I would hang out with, and you can catch me laughing out loud in my car listening to you. Keep them coming.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We too would be your friends in real life.
Alex, well, I don't like anyone. No, I'm just kidding.
John, you're such a fucking liar. John's like, I'm a tough guy. I don't need new friends.
I actually need friends in general.
Yeah, exactly. Because then when I go and hang out with my girlfriends, you're like, no.
Don't leave me.
Don't leave me.
That's like, that's my Taurus trait.
You did this to yourself. I'm a Taurus too.
It's hard for guys.
I don't understand how we're both Taurus.
You're a different Taurus. I'm in the beginning, you're in the end.
Opposite.
I'm at the end. You're in the beginning.
Okay. Let's go eat lunch.
That was dyslexic.
It was.
Alex, plug us.
If you want to reach us, you could email us at hello. Stop. You could email us at hello at giveittomestraightpodcast.com. You can find us everywhere on socials at Give It To Me Straight Podcast. And if you want to send us, John, I haven't done this in a while, so it's really tough.
GiveItToMeStraightPodcast.com.
And if you want to ask anonymous give advice, it to me straight the on link Instagram. Is in our show notes or in our bio. Our website's Give It To Me Straight Podcast.
You're really half-assing
We're just
this.
Everywhere.
Guys,
at Give It To Me Straight Podcast.
Subscribe. Email. I want the reviews.
And
I want the comments.
See you next week with our big updates.
All right. Ciao.
Bye.